Today's daf in Masechet Beitzah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Aleph, and we continue with our concern for doing things that are necessary for eating purposes, but that appear to involve other issues. So they may look like you're preparing a business deal, they may look like you're carrying a major move, there may be issues of muktzah, perhaps, that are involved. So let's continue with how it is that we would gather firewood. And today we're holding at the Mishnah, right on top of Lamed Aleph. Mevi'in etzim min ha-sadeh, min ha-mechunas, u-min ha-karfaf, afilu min ha-mefuzah. You're allowed to bring in wood, even if it's lying in the field, and it has not been gathered up from before, and but it has to be all put into one area, because that way it shows that you are actually planning on using it. So it would appear that the issue over here is that it should be ready for use. And then you're showing that your das is on it and that you intend to use it. But if it's in a karfaf, it doesn't matter, because a karfaf means that it's an enclosed yard. And over there, the very fact that it was enclosed, even if it's completely scattered, it's a filumina mefuzar, because why else is it inside your enclosure? So it must be that your das was on it from before. What defines the karfaf that we're allowing you to use? Kosh esamuch la'ir divrei Rabbi Yehuda. As long as it's close next to the city. So samuch la'ir would mean the way that we define samuch in terms of the extension of Tumim, which was 70 plus, a little bit more than 70 amos next to the city. Not within the Trum Shabbos, which is much more. Rabbi Yossi Omer, well, actually, if it's locked, the karfav, and you need to have a key, so kol shenichlasim lo bepotachat afilo betoch Trum Shabbos. It does not have to be near to the city in that case, because the very fact that it's locked means that it's shamur for you, and that your das is on it, and therefore, as long as it's within the Trum, there'd be no problem of bringing it in for yontem. Omre b'yudam Shmuel, ein machnis ein mevin etzim ela min ha-mechunasim shebekarfav. Now this is strange, because Shmuel apparently disagrees with the Mishnah. He's saying you can't bring in wood on yontem unless it is both in a karfav and it's been put into a pile. How is that? The anantla min ha-karfav afilu min ha-fuzarim. The Mishnah says beferish, not like Shmuel. It says if it's surrounded by a fence, so then it doesn't have to be all gathered up in one place. By the way, it is a little disturbing, is it not? As Tosfos asks, if in the karfaf it hasn't been gathered together at all, so then wouldn't it be considered to be ma'amer? Remember that ma'amer is one of the melachas, one of the lametet melachot, and it means that you're putting things that grew into a pile. So why isn't that ma'amer? So Tosfos, remember, brings a very important din that we were medayik in back in Masechet Shabbat, and that is that we need to recall that just piling things up is not the malacha imur. Imur is to take something which grew on location and then to be ma'amrit on location. So if something grew in a field and then you pile it up in that field, that is part of the agricultural work, and that's imur. But just because you've got scattered things, I mean, if you gather together your children's marbles, that's not imur, obviously. And if you're gathering together pieces of wood whose place of growth was not in the karfaf, but they've been dumped there, they don't have to be dumped in a pile for you not to be over on imur when you pile it up. There would be no difference, different than picking up your kids' marbles and putting them into a pile. So that's important to recall. But ignoring that issue of imur, so the issue over here seems to be, is your das on this wood to be able to use it for yontev or not? So how do we explain the fact that Shmuel ignores the Mishnah and he demands that we have both things? It needs to be in a karfaf and it also needs to be in mechunas. It needs to be in a pile. Answers the Gemara, the truth is that the way our Mishnah describes the halacha is correct, but only according to one approach in the Shita of Beis Hillel. And that is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Matnitin yechida ahi, Titania. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, lo nech leku beit shamayu beit hillel ala mefuzarim shebisadot she'ein mevi'im, v'ala mechudasim shebekarfav she'ken mevi'im. So this is the way Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar explained the machlokas beit shamayu beit hillel, that both beit shamayu beit hillel agree that if you've got two things wrong, first of all, it's not in a karfav, and secondly, it's scattered all over the place, then you cannot bring it in on Yantav. Furthermore, if it is in a karfav, and it's also in a pile, that then you certainly can bring it in, even according to Beit Shammai. The machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was where you only have one thing in your favor. Namely, it could be in a karfav, but then it's mefuzar. Or it could be in a soda, and then it's mechunas. So over there, Beit Shammai says, no, unless you have both things in your favor, that it's also enclosed in a place where your mind was on it, and it's also piled up from before Yontem, so then it's okay. But if it only has one of those two things, Beit Shammai holds you cannot bring it on Yontem, and there Beit Hillel says either or you can bring it. So clearly this Mishnah is a exact description of the Shita of Beit Hillel of either or, either Mechunas in a Sadeh, or not mechunas mefuzar, but it's in a karfav. And that means that if it's not Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, then the standard understanding of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is not that Beit Hillel was matur only one or the other, but that in fact, Beit Hillel requires both things in your favor, and that's what Shmuel was paskening like. Omar Rava, just you got to recognize, and when we're talking about wood, we mean heavy pieces that stay in place when you put them there. But let's say you would put ale kanim, ale gefanim. You gather a lot of grape leaves and you like to make the grape leaf wrapped meat patties or something. You can't rely on that, because even if you make a whole big pile of it, you are really not semech on using it, because you're obviously going to be concerned that, you know, the first wind that comes along is going to scatter this stuff to the wind. And therefore, it's not really considered to be that your das was somach alayu to use it during yontif. So then even if it's michnaf elohu, that would not be enough. And even if they're all like in one pile and they're lying right there on the ground, it doesn't mean anything, because kiven di madli zika, if a wind comes along, bevadeluhu, it would spread it out in a moment. So then for all intents and purposes, they are the same as being befuzarim damu, viasurim. If, however, you put something on them to hold them down, you put a tarp on them, or you put some type of kli on them, then obviously you are relying on them. And it nachmonami et walalayu shapir dami. Now, how do we understand the Mishnah? Let's take a look again at the machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi about the definition of a karfav, a zeru karfav. Rabbi Yehuda says, kol shesamuch la'ir, as long as it's close to town, that's a karfav. Rabbi Yossi says, as long as you go into it with a key, kol shenichnasin lo bepotachat, then it does not have to be close to town. And then, afilu betoch tchum Shabbat, as long as it's not outside of the tchum, that would be okay. So now, there are two ways of understanding this Mishnah. Because when we originally said that the definition of a karfaf, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is kol shesamuch le'ir, did that mean that he took for granted that it does have a lock on the door? And the only reason he didn't mention the lock on the door is because that, in his mind, that's the definition of having a storage area. What kind of storage area is it if you could just push the door open? So, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda was saying that basically a normal karfav has a lock and key. And on that, he was saying, nonetheless, it's only considered to be muchan if it's close to town, meaning within 70 amos. According to which Rabbi Yossi would be saying, no, listen, if it's got a key, then it doesn't matter how far away it is, as long as it's in the tchum. So therefore, what he's saying, that's a given. If it would have a potacha, so it would be mutter if it has a potacha anywhere at all. But if he's telling me that the issue over here is potacha, so the mashma'ut would be that if it would be samuch, it would be okay even without a potachat. So in other words, that would mean that Rabbi Yossi is saying either or. Either you could have a potachat, in which case it could be even as far away as the end of the tchum, right up to the end of the tchum, or it could be close. And Rabbi Yehuda then would be saying, no, you need both potachat, which is a given, and it's still only considered to be muchan if it's also samuch la'ir. So that's one way of understanding it. Or maybe it doesn't mean that at all. When Rabbi Yehuda said kosher samuch la'ir, he was saying there is only one criterion. How close to town is it? And I do not assume that it always has a potachat. And actually, a potachat is irrelevant to me. I don't care if it's got a lock and key, it doesn't have a lock and key. What defines an enclosed area that you are planning on bringing wood from on Yontev is that it's close to town. And therefore, it's not going to be a big tiyul for you to go bring your wood in. That's all that defines your das on it. So therefore, he would be saying that forget about the key, that's irrelevant. The only issue is how close is it? And Rabbi Yossi comes along to say, there's only one issue as far as I'm concerned. If it's got a key, then wherever it is, it's still okay. Far away, close. The point is, as long as you know that this wood is well taken care of, and that if you're going to walk out there almost a kilometer to the end of the tchum, you don't have to worry that the wood was stolen and it's gone, because you got a key and your key is with you. That's all that counts. So that would be another way of understanding Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda has one criterion, and namely, how close is it? Rabbi Yossi has one criterion, namely, does it have a key or not? But that's all that I care about. I don't care if it doesn't have a key, even if it's nearby. You don't rely on that. So that would be the other way of understanding it. Says the Gemara, actually, let's just see that inside. So but it's a given that has a key, to which Rabbi Yossi is coming along to say, if it has a key, that's all that counts. So then it could be anywhere. To which Rabbi Yossi is coming to say, I don't care how close it is. All that counts is the potachat. But if it doesn't have a potachat, have a letle potachat, it doesn't help to be samuch la'ir. So then namilo, in which case they're not, neither one is l'kula or l'chumra, each one of them has a different criterion. Says the Gemara Tashma. Midiktani, Rabbi Yossi Omer. The truth is, if we analyze the language of Rabbi Yossi, we come to understand Rabbi Yehuda as well. Because since it says Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol shenichnasim lo b'potachat vafilu b'toch tchum Shabbat. So then shmamina Rabbi Yossi tarte l'kula. Since Rabbi Yossi, and we can understand Rabbi Yehuda from the way that Rabbi Yossi speaks. And it's clear from Rabbi Yossi that Rabbi Yehuda does not require both a potachat. It's not a given to him that it's a potachat and somoch. So actually, this is not either of the approaches that we assumed would be one way or the other. If we're medayik in the Lashon, we've got to understand it as follows. Because the point is, Rabbi Yossi, if Rabbi Yossi uses the word over here, kol sheyesh lo potachat afilu hu betoch ha'ir, so then imagine if all that Rabbi Yossi cared about was the potachat, and that was the only criteria, and he would be saying that even if it's right next to town, it still needs a key. Why did he have to end with the words afilu betoch tchum Shabbos? All he should have said was, excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda, but as long as you go in with a key, it's fine. Because the very fact that he said, kol, anything that you go in with a key, he is saying that is what is necessary. I don't care where it is. Anything, nearby, far away, kol, shenichnasim bo. There was no need for him to add those closing words, even if it's betchum shum Shabbos. So therefore, the added words must be coming to tell me that you do not require the potachat unless it's so far away that you wouldn't rely on it. But if it would be samuch, so then it would be okay. Rabbi Yehuda, we understand from the way that Rabbi Yossi began speaking. Since he said, Kol shenichnasim lo bepotachat, if it's a given, and Rabbi Yehuda was assuming that it has a potachat, so then why in the world, if all the karfafim in the world have to have a potachat, all Rabbi Yossi should have argued about is whether they could be close or far. Why did he mention the potachat if Rabbi Yehuda didn't mention it? So obviously, Rabbi Yehuda did not assume that there's a potachat. It's Rabbi Yossi who introduced the issue of the potachat, and therefore Rabbi Yossi was saying that you could have either or, and Rabbi Yehuda was certainly not requiring both a potachat, he was only requiring that it be close. Okay, so it wasn't exactly either of the approaches that we initially gave us. It's that Rabbi Yossi essentially is accepting the fact that it could be close or it could be even far away. Rabbi Yehuda does not require the potachat and only requires close. And now we are ready for our kapitan. Oh, wait, excuse me. I said it outside, but I didn't finish inside. I'm so sorry. Tashma. Midiktani Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Shenichnasim Lo Bepotachat Afilo Betoch Tchum Shabbat. So Shmamino, Rabbi Yossi was saying either or. Tarte Lekula Ka'amar Shmamino. Omer of Salom, Rabbi Yirmiya. Indeed, we paskin that way. If the Karfaf is close to town, that doesn't require a key. And your mind is to go there during Yontev. It's just 2 minutes away. If it's far away, then you're not really thinking about taking yourself a walk for 20 minutes just to get some firewood. Okay, sorry there, Sir Richard. Actually, I fooled you into getting an extra song. Ha! Go ahead. So now the issue is, what about chopping firewood or splitting wood? Can you do that? So splitting the wood is usually done with like a sharp point, and you hit on the wood, and that cracks it open. So here says the Mishnah, Ein mevak in etzim, lo min hakorot, velo min hakorah shenishbara biyom tov. You cannot, if you're telling me you cannot be mevakea etzim from korot that you had before, so seems pretty obvious that you wouldn't be able to do it min hakorah shenishbara biyom tov, because that would certainly also be a muktzah problem if before Yontev it wasn't broken and you're not allowed to break it on Yontev. So then we would have to assume that the Mishnah is a issue of zu ve'ein tzorch lomar zu. In other words, this and for sure not from a korah shenishbara b'yomtov. But it's not clear to us whether the issue over here is a tircha problem, a malacha problem, or a muktzah problem. And in fact, the Gemara is going to have to define this Mishnah better so that we can understand what the problem is over here. Ve'ein mevakim, you cannot do even from wood that is muchan, you cannot be mevakea with a kardon, with a megera, with a magal. So you cannot use an axe, you cannot use a saw, you cannot use a sickle. The only kind of thing that you could do would be to use a cleaver of a butcher. So now, the Mishnah is very confusing. Because, ask the Gemara, look, I mean, the Reish of the Mishnah began with the words, Ein Mivak'in. Now, since we were talking initially about not something that broke on Yontif, we introduced that issue afterwards. That was the issue of Muktzah, right? So that was Mashma that initially, the only thing that we were concerned with is because either it's a malacha or because it's a tircha yetera. So when it's saying ein mevakin, it means ein mevakin at all. I don't care if these korot broke before Yontev, and therefore they're obviously the only thing you're going to do with them, with these cracked up beams, is to use them for your fireplace or for your stove. And certainly not, v'lo min hakorah shenishbara b'yom Yontev, certainly not if it broke on Yontev, because that would even introduce an additional element of muktzah. So then how do you suddenly turn around and say that Well, but it depends what you use. If you said you ain't mevakin at all, then how could you tell me suddenly that you could if you use a butcher's cleaver? Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, you're absolutely right. The way that the Mishnah is constructed now really does not hold together. And what the Mishnah forces you to recognize is that there is something missing in the Mishnah. And therefore, says Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, the Mishnah can only be read as a chisure mechasra. So it's got to be missing the certain terms. V'achikatan. Ein mevakim. Now, when it says ein mevakim, it means ein mevakim etzim, put in. Lo min ha-so'ar shorosua, ar shokorot, v'lo min ha-korah shenishbura b'yomtav. Now, a so'ar shokorot is basically wood that is piled up for purposes of construction, in which case, if you're telling me that it's a stacked up pile of korot, then obviously the issue over there would be that when it's in that way, it's mukts according to everybody, because korot are expensive, and when you've stacked them up for binyan, even Rabbi Shimon is meida, that was one of the classic examples of mukts machlas kisar and kis. So then that means the Mishnah was not talking about the malacha issue at the beginning at all. It was talking about, first, let's decide what kind of wood could bichlal be available for burning. So if it's stacked up for binyan, obviously that's usur. And for that matter, even if it's a korah that broke on yontev, even that would be usur because it was muktza at the beginning, because it was usur to break a binyan on yontev, and therefore we would say the standard rule is that kiva diskatzoy levin hashmashas diskatzoy lekol yom kula. So that's for sure, and that is something that you know already, and therefore we're saying that you can't use either. And of course that would not be true necessarily according to Rabbi Yehuda. Depends on the situation, as we saw. Person may be waiting for something to break, and so on. The mashmaut, therefore, of the resha, which we took to mean you cannot use a korah that was busted up before yontev, that was wrong. The resha was referring to a soar shel korot. If anything, it implied the opposite. If you had broken korot from before yontev, then you would be allowed to use it in terms of muktzah. Now, says the Mishnah, let's move on to the other issues that are involved. And that is the question of tircha, or the question of whether there may be a malacha involved. Continues the Mishnah Kisei. Ukishei mevakin. If you're going to chop wood from a type of wood that you're allowed to, namely it was broken up wood from before yontem, then be careful what kli you choose to do that with. Because ein mevakin lo bekardom, v'lo b'magal, v'lo b'megira, ela b'kofit. And I'll prove to you that the issue in the Mishnah is not an issue of malacha. The issue in the Mishnah up at the beginning was only talking about, as I'm suggesting, mukta, and that it was chitzuri mechasa. Because take a look at this braita, and you'll see that that's the point. Tanya nami hachi, ein mevakin etzim. Look how it begins. Lo min ha-savar shokorot. Period. Okay, so now we recognize from the Braita that we were correct in understanding the Mishnah as being chisur mechasra. So now let's discuss these tools to get a better handle on what we can use and what we can't. We got even a smile from Barnea. That's pretty amazing. Velo a bikardom. So the next thing we had in the Mishnah was v'lo b'kardom. Omer of Chidina bar Shalmiya, Mishmei d'Rav, lo shana el b'nakvut shalo, avo b'zachrut shalo mutar. So now, normally, obviously, we use male and female in a sense of the whether it's sticking out or whether it's going in. Here, obviously, there's no such thing as a real nakvut, so there's no female part of an axe. However, that's why I gave you the pictures yesterday in the DAF WhatsApp. But what we're using over here as male and female is a sharpened end, which is male-like, and a longish end, which is more like a slit, which is female-like. So we're extending the use of male and female. And what we're talking about over here is that when we said that it's usher to use an X, that's talking about the female part of the X, which is the wider part. And those type of things, now, I'm not really sure. And the Rishonim say it's not clear to us what the shape was of what they called a X, an axe blade in that time. But as Rashi says, this was a tool that was used for actually for working even fine work. So if you were trying to get like a nice shape on something that you were cutting for a decorative on the horse or on your windows, you would be using the wide-edged blade of your axe. And because of that, you cannot use it because the part that you're able to use, which is clearly just for wood splitting, that's okay because nobody's going to think that you're doing any type of meleches uman for yontev and that you're being mechalo yontev. But to use the other side is something that can cause people to believe that this is a tool of an Oman, and we answered using tools of Omanut. So again, it doesn't really fit our vision of the axe, but the idea over here is that we've got a tool that's got a wider blade that is used for fine work, and it's got the male part, which is the sharpened blade that is thin, and that's used for splitting the wood, and that nobody would think is being used for fine work. So therefore, what it's coming to tell me is that we do not allow you to use the nakvut side of the axe, but we would allow you to use the male part. Says the Gemara, well, isn't that obvious? I mean, if the thing that the Mishnah said you can use is a kofitz, and the way that we know a kofitz is made is that it's only got this more masculine part because it's got like a sharper kind of blade, which is narrow. So then obviously, why would we not be allowed to use an equivalent sized blade just because it's on an axe that also has a wider blade? What do I care? No, I do care, says the Gemara, because Rabbi Chanina says, look, don't think, Mao de Tema, you might think that when the Mishnah says a kofitz, it means only a kofitz because the kofitz does not have two sides. It only has a thin blade, but maybe a kardom, which has two different types of blades. It has a kardom kofitz. So it's got like a wide blade and it's got the thin blade on the other side. So then I might have thought, look, if this is a tool that's got two sides on it, one of which is usher because it's used for fine work, so then I don't allow you to use that tool at all, even if you're only going to be using the side that is just obviously being used for splitting wood. Kamash Malan, that's why Rav Chanina had to come along and say, do not think that. And actually, you'd even be allowed to be using an axe if you're using the male side of the axe. Now, some actually say exactly the opposite. And Ikad Amat Nila Seifa, that the Seifa of the Mishnah said, you're only allowed to use a kofitz. And in this version, Rav Chanina Bar Shlomia said, Mishmei Derav, this using a kofitz, even the kofitz, you have to be careful about using the smaller blade, the zachrus blade, the narrow blade of the kofitz. Now, in this location, obviously, we're referring to a kofitz that did have a double blade, which is different than the pshat we had before. So they made kofitzim differently in different places. It's not that this is just a different halacha. It's referring to a different locale of a benakvut shelo aser, but using the wide edge of the kofitz, where in this area we have kofitzim that also have wide edge, so that you wouldn't be allowed to do. Well, obvious. I mean, if it said you can't use an axe, and in that location an axe only had a wide edge, so if it says lo bekardom, why would I think that the kofitz is okay to use with its wide blade, and why would that not be the equivalent of using a kardom? No, because Rav Chinanat says, look, if I didn't tell you that, Ma'o de Tema, you might have thought that when the Mishnah says you cannot use an axe, it's because an axe in that locale had no male part to it at all. It was entirely female. So therefore, it was only used for fine work. But a kofitz kardom, which has both a cleaver and an axe. So I might have thought, look, if it's got one side that's mutter, so then it's okay to use it, the whole thing. I could use even the wide side, because that doesn't really seem to be the same as an axe used for fine work. After all, it's a butcher cleaver. Kamash balan. It's the name of the tool, and it's the side of the tool that is used for actually splitting wood. Both of them are necessary, and you can't use the wide part of a butcher's cleaver in places where they make double-sided cleavers. I looked all over the internet for a double-sided cleaver, and I could not find any. So, I don't know. I guess we live in a kind of place where cleavers do not have the other side. And now we are ready for our kapitan. Just get your head out of the way of that guy. Go. Now, let's imagine that we have a sealed room, and we actually filled this room up with peyrot, and now this was meant to be kept, like, for months, so we just had the entire room sealed, and it doesn't even have a door. And so it's basically a closed area for long-term storage, and then it was nifchat on Yom Tov. So what we imagine it, what it means is that, you know, a meteorite struck it, smashed down a little piece of the wall, or a tree fell on it, whatever, and now all of a sudden we're able to get out Paris from it. Well, you can actually take things out of those peros, because we're going to, I mean, l'chora, it's a d'oraisa to take it apart, so therefore it should be muktzeh machmas iser. So we're going to have to explain why that's not true. As a matter of fact, it's clear from Rabbi Meir, as is about to tell us, that this couldn't be a case of an iser d'oraisa, because Rabbi Meir says, you know what? You could even break open the wall of l'chatchila and take it. Now, that's ridiculous. If it's talking about a real binyan, there's obviously an issue of an iser stira on yontav, and that is exactly what we use as the key to understanding the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, what? Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to tear down a wall on yontav? Am I? V'kasasar ola. And even on yontav, the malacha of soser is not included in a heter of makshirei yochel nefesh. So why in the world would Rabbi Meir say it's okay? Answers the Gemara, you misunderstand the case. I mean, come on, really, how many people build a permanently sealed room around Paris? Of course, that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is avira de livne. Avira de livne means that what we do is we piled bricks, one on the other, so that we made the equivalent of a room, but we didn't use any kind of cement. It's just air. So what we do is we basically made like a Lego room, right? Even less than a Lego room. You just pick up the pieces and they come right off. They're not even attached to each other in any way. And that was just meant to protect the peras from mice or whatever. And that's not a problem, because since it's not a building, it's basically just a pile of bricks. So because of that, Rabbi Meir says that what's the problem of taking it apart? As a matter of fact, it's not obvious what the iser is, according to the Tanna Kamma, of taking it apart. There's even a machlokas haposkim, in terms of modern day poskim, is the issue a problem of tircha yisera on yantev, because you're going to be picking up so many bricks? Or is it because some of the Rishonim say that since it looks like you're taking it apart and it's similar to binyan and stira, so because of that, it's also been rabbanan as a rabbanan extension of the din of stira. Fine. So, okay. But whatever the point is, Rabbi Meir says that if you're talking about on yontev, then it would be okay. Yes, the Gemara, it's okay? I mean, isn't it usser? Didn't Reb Nachman say that if you've got bricks that are, they're just lying around after the builders finish construction, you also often have like bricks lying around, you're allowed to move them even on Shabbos, because at that point, the standard usage of leftover building materials was to sit on. So you just simply take it and sit down outdoors. So, but the moment that Shraginu, The moment that you make a pile out of them, so then obviously you want them for use in the future, maybe for more building. And so then you were vade makzino. So over here, I mean, even if you're telling me there's no iser malacha, but what about, these are certainly mooks of bricks. They're not meant to be used by you. Omer Rebbe Zera, that's true. However, we're talking about Yontav. And what Reb Nachman was talking about was Shabbos. And B'Yontav Amru, Avolo B'Shabbat. Of course, in terms of Shabbos, it's Mukta. However, since it's necessary for Ochal Nefesh, and I want to get to the fruit, we did not Aser Mukta D'Rabbanan on Yontav, where it's Nogea Ochal Nefesh. This is the third place that Tosis points out that we have a raya from the Gemara that we do not hold of mukta in a mokum where the mukta would prevent Ochal Nefesh. Omer Shmuel. Tanya Nami Hachi. Rabbi Meir Omerav Pochet L'chatchila V'notel. However, of course, that's only on Yontev and not on Shabbos, because on Shabbos we're machmer on the mukta element. Omer Shmuel. How about Chotamot Shebekarka? So suppose you have the, you've got, let's say, an opening to a little storage area that's in the ground, and it's got this, what do you call those things? Manhole covers. That's tied with a rope. So anything that's tied down, a door that's tied down to the ground, you're allowed to untie it. The reason you're allowed to untie it on Yontem and on Shabbos is because it's meant to be the normal way that you go in and out. So since this door is always tied and untied 20 times a day, it's not considered to be a kesher shel kayama, and because of that, there's no iser in tying or untying it. Avolo mafkia, but you can't unravel the rope itself. That's an iser d'oraisa. Velo choteich, you can't cut it, because since it's mechubar lekarka, it has a din of a binyan. And if you cut it, you're being seiser a binyan. So then, indeed, you would be over an iser d'oraisa, because malocha of satira is on anything that would be connected to the ground as a real binyan. But suppose you have a knot that closes your box of various teas or something like that. So you got this big box that you bring to the table, and you open it up and you show people the different teas they can use. That is not considered to be a problem of seiser, because kalim, there's no stira on kalim. And so if you have a rope closure, so bekelim, you could be matir even on Shabbos. And you could even be mafkia v'choteich, because it's all part of a kli rather than a binyan. Echad Shabbat, ve'echad Yom Tov, and that would be true also on Shabbos and on Yontev, and therefore it would be mutter for anything that has to do with your eating from a kli. Ask the Gemara, how can you say this? It says in a Braita that chotamot shebekarka b'Shabbat matir, avolo mafkia avolo choter. So you are allowed to untie on Shabbos, but you cannot unravel it. You can't cut it. And on Yontev, you can be mafkia v'choteich, besides being matir. Masha Einkein, I mean, this is exactly the opposite of Shmuel. Shmuel said that it's osur even on Yontev to be mafkia or to be choteich. So how are we being matir if this is, apparently it's only a derabbanan? And apparently we're going to be mad to the Rabbanan on Yontav because it's Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. But Shmuel pointed out that it's a D'oraisa. Answers the Gemara, this is going Aliba the Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Meir said, Av pochet lechatchila v'notel. Didn't Rebbe Meir say in our Mishnah that you're allowed to take apart the wall? And the Rabbanan argued on him. So what Shmuel says is, I was going like the Rabbanan. When it says over here, you're allowed to do it lechatchila, that was the case like the Mishnah. Excuse me? What does that have to do with our case? The case in the Mishnah we said was talking about the Avir, the Livne, and so on. The Rabbanan don't argue with Rebbe Meir, b'nogea d'chotamot shebekarka. The Brayta says, Modim Chachamim l'Rebbe Meir b'chotomot shebekarka, that on Shabbos you're matir, but that's all. You cannot be mafkia and not be chotech, whereas on Yontev you can be matir mafkia v'chotech. So therefore, apparently the Chachamim agree that the chiyuv on Yontev, of the Simchas Yontev and of being matir, therefore anything which is oichal nefesh is apparently okay, even for cutting the rope. So how do you explain that? So how is Shmuel saying he's claiming that he's going like the Rabbanan if the Rabbanan themselves are Maida? True. But Shmuel, the Omer Ki Hai Tana, Shmuel is going like the Tana in the Braita, the Tanya. Chotomot shemekarka matir avolo mafki avolo choteich, echad Shabbos, v'echad Yom Tov, and it's osur and bekli, it's only mutter to untie it, but it's not mutter to be mafkia or to be chotech, and therefore on Shabbos it's exactly what Shmuel was tining, that beyom tov mafkia, matir mafkia v'chotech. So apparently this is true according to Shmuel, but only the first part, tirats to the resha, because the safe is a problem, because at the end Shmuel said that even on Shabbos it would be mutter, so for Kalim. And over here it's saying not like that. The Brayta is still asering even Kalim on Shabbos. That you didn't answer. Answers the Gemara, but there's another Shita that you're forgetting. And that's the famous sheet of Rabbi Nechemiah we had back in Shabbos. Remember that Rabbi Nechemiah is the only one who holds that the original Isurim of Muktzah, remember we traced back in Shabbos the Isurim of Muktzah to the time of Ezra and Nechemiah, and they didn't allow you to handle anything at all. And then gradually they were matir until we finally got to the possible kula of Muktzah, even Aliba the Rabbi Shimon, which is no Muktzah at all, unless you were Mekatzeah. Rabbi Nechemiah was the only one who said that the original Chumrah of Muktzah, in which you're not allowed to handle anything unless it's for the specific purpose for which it was made, that's the only thing you can handle something with. So then according to Rabbi Nechemiah, you can't pick up a knife to cut through a rope, because knives are not made for cutting through ropes. They're primarily used for cutting meat. And therefore, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, you cannot use a knife. That's the problem. That was usher on Shabbos. So how many the Tana of that price is Rabbi Nechemiah? The Yomar Kol HaKelim, Einan Nitalim, Ela Derech Tashmishan. Only a primary use for which a kli is originally manufactured is mutter to move on Shabbos. And Rabbi Nechemiah, he holds that's true if Yilu Bizman Hazeh. So therefore, how can you cut the rope? I understand. If it's going according to Rabbi Nechemiah, then you don't have an explanation either, because the Brayta is matirid on Yontev. And according to Rabbi Nechemiah, this is a primary din in Muktzah. So how the heck did it become mutter on Yontev? Muktzah is usr on Yontev. So then my Arya Shabbos, why would he say you're not allowed to cut through the rope on Shabbos? You're not allowed to cut through the rope on Yontev either. Afilu Yontev Nami. Don't try to tell me that Shanya Leila Rabbi Nechemiah bein Shvut Shabbat v'Shvut Yom Tov, and that Rabbi Nechemiah only holds the Chumrah of his Muktzah for Shabbos, but not for Yom Tov, because he does not actually differentiate between Shabbos and Yom Tov, as I'm about to show you. Umi Shanya Le, v'Tani Chara, if you hold that there's a difference, then how do you explain the following? One brisa says, Mesikin bekelim ve'in mesikin b'shivrei kelim. So remember, this was the brisa we spoke about. You can only use things that are actually broken, are whole, but not if they became broken, because once it becomes broken on Yontev, so now at that point, if it's not usable anymore, even though now it's usable for burning, but originally it was set aside to be used for whatever, for storing things in. And now all of a sudden it's firewood. That is not usable because it wasn't meant for that purpose. And yet another Brayta says, doesn't matter. Mesikin ben bekelim Ben Bishivrei Kalim. Okay, so this braita is Mekel on Mokitza. Fine. Now take a look at this other braita. Tanya Ida. Ein Mesikin lo bekelim v'lo bishivrei kelim. And the other one says that you cannot use anything, neither kelim nor shivrei kelim. Now, what the heck is wrong with using kelim? I'll tell you what's wrong with using kelim. What's wrong with using kelim is that that's not their primary usage. And therefore, the only way we could explain it, we couldn't explain it as the standard way we would explain something as the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. The Pash, this is the first brisa, was going alibet Rabbi Yehuda. The second brisa was going alibet Rabbi Shimon. But the third brisa, which is telling me you can't use anything, even full kelim, that doesn't work out according to anybody, does it? Unless it's Rabbi Nechemia. And it's certainly not talking about burning kelim on Shabbos. Obviously, it's talking about Yontem. So you see that Rabbi Nechemia must be that the sheet of Rabbi Nechemia, which is the only way that we have to explain this third braita, the sheet of Rabbi Nechemia, that you cannot use something for a purpose for which it was not manufactured originally, and certainly we did not manufacture this box to burn, and that means that he holds that even on Yontef. So now how do you explain the fact that you wanted to tell me that the braita that tells me that it's usur, is usur to pick up a knife to cut through the rope, that's going out libet Rabbi Nechemia, and that's only also on Shabbos. But on Yontev, Rabbi Nechemia is not makbid on picking up a knife to cut a rope. And here we see beferish, that according to Rabbi Nechemia, you cannot pick up a box to use it to burn on Yontev. So how do you explain it now? Why is there a difference between Shabbos and Yontev? As says the Gemara, you're 100% right. This approach to Rabbi Nechemia clearly asserts that there's no difference, alibet Rabbi Nechemia, in his shita of chumra, of muksa, between Shabbos and Yontem. However, the very fact that we were talking about before, and says that there's a difference between cutting through the rope on Shabbos and cutting through the rope on Yontem, obviously disagrees. And he holds, and this is what Shmuel was relying on, and he holds that Rabbi Nechemia actually does make a distinction between Shabbos and Yontem, and he's not as machmir with his mukta on saying you cannot even use kalim, that he's not going to be machmir on, and therefore he would disagree with the third brisa over here. So we have two tanaim, alibet Rabbi Nechemia.